This morning, I want to talk about living for tomorrow. Turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Colossians 3, 1. What would you do today if today was your last day to live? If you knew tomorrow you'll be with God, that's our hope and our trust and our confidence. But today is your last day on this planet, what would you do? Colossians 3:1 says, "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." This sermon is not about borrowing trouble from tomorrow. You know, Jesus said that that we are to live today and don't worry about tomorrow. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And Jesus said in his prayer, the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." This sermon does not contradict the idea of, you know, live for today and trust God to provide for you day by day. This sermon is about thinking of eternity and not worrying and focusing so much on earthly things. I remember as a teenager, you know, being young, when you're young, your whole life is ahead of you. And I remember as a teen, you just have this overwhelming urge to live it up, you know, to just get the most out of life, just have fun, because the future seems endless. But Scripture tells us to fix our eyes on things above, to find real passion on things above. C.S. Lewis once said, "If you read history, you will find that the Christians who did the most for the present world were precisely those who thought the most of the next." I want to give an example. Steve Hess has... there's a number of things that you may not know about Steve, but I think a lot of you probably do. I'll share a couple. Steve has a storage business that he operates. He has a number of rent houses. Steve, the one thing you may know about him, and he's the guy that rides a scooter. You've probably seen Steve on a scooter. He has a number of those and enjoys riding that. You probably don't know, but he rode his scooter recently from Alaska to New Orleans. 10 days? Alaska to New Orleans on a scooter. Okay? It's something he enjoys. You know, I can understand that. That's not my thing, but I have other things. I mean, we all have things we enjoy. But I want to tell you something. What Steve really lives for, one of the things, is teaching the Bible. He's one of our Sundays, our adult class teachers. He'll come in the office. You know, he came in after coming back from New Orleans. You know, show me some pictures. We talked about the trip. He's talked to me about a few different things. But he will come in, and the other day he comes in, he'll talk with Keith and I about things of the Bible. "Guys, have you ever thought of this?" And he's so excited. It's okay to live in this world and enjoy a few things, but where's our passion? Where's our focus? What are we really living for? Are we living for today or are we living for tomorrow? 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is unseen is temporary, what is seen is temporary, what is unseen is eternal." If people in the community of Saint Ambroise ask Jean Grenier, "Why are you building this thing? It's been 9 years, Jean. What is the deal?" He's not focused on earthly. He's focused on eternal. That's the reason, the passion for eternal. The word that's translated "far" in the NIV in verse 17, "Our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." The translation really doesn't do it justice. Literally, the translation for the word "far" here in the Greek would be "from excess to excess." You'd have to stretch that word far out with a lot of A's in the middle of it. That's how we would text it. You know what I mean? Far. And so the point is, whether you're enjoying things in life, those need to be in a category where my passion is for what's above. But also, you may have struggles in life. And that's what this verse is about. Paul says, we're having struggles, but they're earthly. And what is tomorrow in heaven far outweighs our struggles of today. Galatians 6 verse 7 says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. When I was a kid, my dad loved to garden. He still does. He loved to work in the garden, loved to plant, loved to go and do everything you do in a garden. He would do it all. And then reap the vegetables. Now, I kind of like the vegetables. I kind of like some fried okra. I didn't like doing anything in the garden. I was not much of a sower. I was not much of a cultivator. I was not much of a reaper. I was more of the eater. So this idea of, you know, sowing and reaping. Cecil Moore gave me some tomatoes the other day. They didn't look too great. He warned me. He said, they don't look like much, but they're really good. And I've been eating those tomatoes. Those are so delicious. When it comes reaping time in heaven, everyone's going to want that. Everyone wants to be in line when it's time to reap. And God tells us, folks, now's the time to sow. What are we living for, this world or the next? When we go on a trip, Stephanie and I and our kids, Stephanie and I are opposites in how we pack for a trip. When I go somewhere, we went to Tennessee this summer. When I pack, I throw some things together, zip it up, throw it in the car, I'm ready to go. I don't want a lot of hassle. I don't want a lot of headache. If we forgot something, we'll get it on the way. That's just kind of how I operate. I'm not recommending that. I'm just saying that's just how I am. Now, Stephanie, she's the opposite. So we go to load and everything that she's packed. You know, I make a lot of trips packing this vehicle to take everything that she's packed. I'll unzip a bag, and in this one bag are containers upon containers of creams and lotions and ointments and salves and gels. Whatever can come in a semi-liquid form in a container, there's tons of it. Well, I don't even know what it is, but we have it, okay? And we don't have a snack with us that we take. We have bags of snacks. Now, I am a big fan of that. When we pack, I don't want to mess with it. But you can believe when we're on the road and I need, you know, I'm tired of this snack. What else do we have? I'm glad. When I need a drink and I didn't even think to put any, I've already finished my Quick Trip drink. What do we have in the cooler? You know, I'm glad. I really am. I have to admit, honey, I don't like what it takes to get it in the car, but I do like having it when we're on the trip. And God is telling us, don't get distracted with this life. And live for today and live it up and be so focused thinking that heaven is forever away. Our job is to live for tomorrow. Remember Jesus at the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus is at the well. The disciples going to town to get food. They're hungry. They're worried about today. Jesus knows there's a Samaritan woman coming. He's going to try to reach her and this town. The disciples come back. What's their first reaction? They're surprised. Jesus is talking to a woman. And they say, Jesus, you need to eat. We know you're hungry. We got this food. It's time to eat. I imagine the disciples ate part of it on the way. Honestly, they may have already finished eating by the time they got to him. Jesus, you need to eat. And Jesus said to him, my food is spiritual food. He basically said, I'm not hungry. Jesus was feeding on what he was focused on, and that is eternal things. He's trying to save this woman and this town. You probably noticed something this week I want to share with you to end with, kind of take our thoughts to. But think about this. After death, after you die, you will not have a single other chance to reach somebody for Christ. Once you die, you will have no more opportunities to encourage someone who's down. I know it's been on a lot of our minds this week, probably older ones maybe more so than younger ones. But Robin Williams taking his own life, really moved a lot of us, didn't it? And it's tragic, without a doubt. It always is when someone takes their own life. But the most tragic thing about this story isn't that we've lost a great entertainer. The saddest part isn't that someone felt so down and alone that they took their own life. It isn't that someone seems so happy. How could someone so happy be sad and hopeless? The saddest part of this story is that it is permanent. The book is finished on one Robin Williams. No more can be done to help this one soul. And I just remind us this morning, the reason we need to live for tomorrow is there will come a day when our day, it's our last day. And there will come a day, and maybe it's in our lifetime, that Jesus comes and it's all of our last day. This life doesn't last forever. And I just remind you to be focused on what's really important, living for tomorrow. Let's stop and have a prayer together, and then we'll have an invitation. God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for how good you are to us. We thank you that we live in a country with such freedom and prosperity, and at the same time, Satan has so much to distract us with. And there are a number of us who are suffering right now in illness, or we are sick, or a loved one is, or we lost a loved one, or financial problems or other problems. And there's so much to keep us from being focused on you and your glory, and that you would be at the forefront of all we do, that our passion above all would be for you, that every day we would live, but we would live with tomorrow in mind. And we pray you help us to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to offer a song of encouragement. If there's something on your heart that we need to lift up to God, pray for you about. If one is here this morning and you're not ready for tomorrow, you're not ready to meet God because you've never put Christ on in baptism, confessed, put your faith in Christ and had your sins washed away. And if you have a need this morning, please come while we stand and sing.
Would you live for Jesus and be always very good? Would you walk with Him?